We're in Daniel chapter 3, and as I mentioned in my welcome this morning, my title for this morning is Standing Firm in the Fire. So the transfer, as I said, for our property is at the finishing line. And at times, it has felt like someone kept moving it forward. Can I say this? We can blame the devil. We can blame him, because he does not like a church being established or anchored in a community. He does not like to have a church have an easy time establishing itself. We could blame the devil. At the same time, we can say, well, God's testing us. He's testing our faith. Or we can say, God's in control. We can say that too. And we could say the timing of all things belong to God. All of those are true. Every single one of them. My response would be, yes, they're all true. And at some stage, all of them have come into play. We can get disappointed and frustrated when we see the finishing line and then it moves. And this morning, I'm not just talking about this chapel property. I'm talking about things in our lives as well. There's a dual message this morning. There's one for the chapel and our property, and the other one is for our own lives. And we can run harder and harder and harder to jump over that finish line, and then it just moves again. I don't know about you. This is the life in Christ I would like. This is the one. It's like wafting gently through the daisies with my caramel cappuccino from Starbucks, supporting a winning Sharks team and buying meat every second day. That is the Christian life. Thank you. Don't worry. Okay. Thank you, Lee. That's the Jesus I want and the Christian life I want. But the Bible reveals something very differently. Daniel chapter 3. Here's a little summary of Daniel chapter 3. We all know it. King Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue of himself, a big one, 27 meters high. To put that into perspective for us mere folk who don't build 27 meter high statues, it's 3.5 times the height of the bell tower. And it was made of gold. And at the price of gold at the moment, I wish we had one of those statues. Did you notice I bent down and I got up without any bones cracking? Did you actually notice that? And no hip going out of joint. That is incredible. And then, not only does he have this massive gold statue made, he then invites everyone to the unveiling. Because you know, you've got to do unveiling. You do an unveiling. In verse 5, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipes. Hey, Keith, this is a worship session here. Where's your zither? Come on, we need a zither up here. And other musical instruments. He says, when you hear the band playing, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. He doesn't tell them, worship me. He says, when you hear the music playing, when four jacks and a jewel get playing, you bow down to the statue of me. And that's not all. Because in verse 6, he says this, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So there's a threat. There's a command, and if you don't do it, you're going to be in big trouble. And then if you read on through verses 12 to 15, everyone's bowing down to the statue because the music is playing, except for three guys. And you guessed it. It's those boys from Israel causing trouble again. Meshach, Shachetak, and Abednego. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These three boys are causing trouble, man. They're not bowing down when the music's playing. They just could not bring themselves to bow down to a statue. They weren't part of the Nebuchadnezzar statue must fall campaign. They weren't part of that. And they weren't worried or angry. It would remind them of their past, because after all, Nebuchadnezzar brought us here against our will. It was a faith issue. It was a faith issue for them. They bowed down to one God, the God of Israel. The same for us today. Oh, we can say to them, boys, I could understand that. Hey, big statue, don't bow down to it. Before we get all grumpy, there are statues we bow down today without even realizing it. Statues that the world puts before us. But it's a faith issue. And so this morning, I want to bring three qualities of faith that we find in Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The first quality is this. Write this down. Faith obeys God without compromise. I should have made that my third point, because you know, you like to build to something. This is my first point. I think compromise today is a danger to you and I. Faith obeys God without compromise. I want to honor, that's the right word, Connor and Tanaya yesterday, because they said, we are going to be moving in together, but we're going to get married first. And they got married with family just around. They didn't have a big party. There was no cake. There was nothing. They said, we need to be married when we live together. I want to honor them. Because there's an idol that says, ah, why don't you give it a try? And if it works out, then get married. They said, no. We stay together. We get married first. There's a statue in the world today that says, no, man. You do what you like. If it doesn't work out, you know what happens? Those things lead up to the Jesus question. Let me give him a try, and if he doesn't work out, I'll switch to something else. Statues out there today. So everyone's bowing down before the statue. These three guys are standing. Come on, you gotta see this picture. Thousands of people down, three guys are up. You notice them. You can't unnotice them. You cannot. It's like that person that walks in the mall that just had their hair done. You notice them. It's all nice, and you think, what happened there? You know the people I'm talking about. But you just notice. Or when Keith walks in the mall with short pants, you just notice those things. You know what I mean? Oh, gosh, the other day, I go to Checkers to get something for Esty. It was like a rush. I run out, quickly go get it. I'm actually paying at the Checkers thing, and I look down, and I still got my slippers on. Because they were comfy. You know, I was doing some work, and I was studying and doing some stuff. I had my slippers on. I'm like, I hope no one else notices. No one else said anything. It didn't mean they didn't notice. They're just like, hey, how's that grandpa? Yeah, boy, lost it. So Nebuchadnezzar says to the three boys, hey, why aren't you bowing down? And then their reply is in verse 16. Verse 16, check it this. King Nebuchadnezzar. So they say, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. What they're saying is, this is not between us and you. This matter is between us and God. They don't have to pray about it. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to fast about it. They don't have to post a graphic on Facebook and ask all their friends who aren't their friends to like it or dislike it. They say, no, we know what to do. They don't rationalize away compromise. Because you know we can do that. We can rationalize compromise. Think about it. Everyone's bowing down except for the three of them. They could have said, hey guys, you know what? Why don't we just bow down? Pretend we're worshipping this 27-meter ridiculous statue, but in our hearts we'll sing Kumbaya. They could have said that. They could have said, in our hearts we believe in the one true God, and for the sake of the others, let's bow down and fake it. They could have said that. They could have said, you know what? Let's just worship. Then tomorrow we'll wake up with a whole lot of guilt and we'll ask God to forgive us. I mean, we've done it before, we'll just do it again. They could have said that too. Or maybe it's, you know what? It's just a thought. If I don't bow down, I'm going to get bribed. That could have gone through their head, and I guarantee you it went through their mind, because King Neb said, if whoever does not bow down, going to go to the furnace. Not to shovel coal inside, to be shoveled inside. And they would have thought, yeah, well, if I don't bow down, I'm dead. Who's left to tell all these people about God? Let's just compromise. See, we can do that sometimes. But they didn't do that. If you're a follower of Christ, and you're truly trying to follow Christ's call on your life, Satan, your spiritual enemy, will give you ample opportunity to compromise. Trust me on this. He'll give you lots of opportunities to compromise. To compromise what you know is true, and to compromise God's purpose for your life. He'll give you lots of opportunity. The second quality of faith for you and I that we see in the story is faith obeys in spite of what it sees. Faith obeys in spite of what it sees. King Neb gets mad that these three won't bow down to his statue. So he commands them to be thrown in the furnace, because I said I'd throw anyone in the furnace. So he's a man of his word. Their response is in verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve, is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I think they said that a little bit sarcastically. He'll save us, your majesty. In other words, he'll save us, you pork chop. You don't understand what my God is able to do. That's what they're actually saying. It leads us to the hardest question in all of this. What if God doesn't do what we're believing him to do? It's a hard question, that. What if you believe in God to open a door for you in business and the door shuts closed? What if you believe in God to bring your kid back to faith in Christ and they seem to be sucked further into the world? What do you do? This is what you do. And it's the last quality of faith. Write this down. Faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. And I do not like that point. That's why I left it for last. I like to tell God the outcome more often than not. I pray and I say, Lord, this is how you can do it. And more often than not, I haven't heard the Lord say this, but it's been proven by experience. He does it his way. Not my way. It can be quite frustrating. Lord, you know that my way would have got this sorted out much sooner. And then you can almost hear him saying, but my way brought glory to my name. So this is key. But it can be challenging, because how often do we pray for the trial or the delay that we're facing? We tell God, this is how the outcome should be. And so I know that this hasn't happened, but you can do it like this quickly. It's super easy for us to look at this story in the book of Daniel and say, of course the outcome belongs to God. Of course. Because we know the outcome of the furnace story. We know the outcome of Paul in prison. We know the outcome. We know, we can look back and see the outcome and say, of course the outcome belongs to the Lord. Except when we're in the midst of it. But I want to encourage you, look back. You have many, every single one of you, have many situations where you've realized, oh, the outcome did belong to the Lord. And check it, the outcome. Look at it. I mean, who could ever have imagined that Esty would ask me to marry her? Look at the outcome. We know that they're going to be rescued, because it tells us. We read on in the story of Daniel. It's easy to say, yeah, of course, trust the outcome to the Lord. But what if the outcome's still got to work itself out in our lives? They didn't know what God was going to do. They didn't know. But their faith was unwavering, because they knew the goodness of God. They understood the goodness of God. Keith brought an incredible story. It's like my, if the Bible only had one scripture, it was that one. Romans 8:28. For God will turn all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. How many things will he turn around? Just the couple I've asked for. No. All things he will turn for good. And sometimes it takes a while. King Neb is frustrated with these three boys. So he says, stoke up that fire. Make that thing hot, 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 hot. These boys are going to roast. Because now he's cross with it. They're making an example. Hey, I can't have these boys standing just now. Other people are going to stand. It tells us in Scripture, the furnace was so hot that the soldiers throwing Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego into the furnace were burnt alive. That's how hot it was. The question is, how come they didn't burn if the soldier throwing them in burnt to death? The three of them get thrown in. But God. Verses 24 and 25. So, soldiers come. They all die throwing these three guys in. King Neb's looking on. His boy's going to get taught a lesson. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. This was a Christophany in the Old Testament. It was Jesus in the fire. I think it's one of the old guys, one of the dead guys, preached a sermon, the fourth man. You must go and find it on the internet. The fourth man. Oral Roberts or Roberts Oralson or I don't know, one of them. Go, if you can get hold of it. I've got it at home. If you say to me on WhatsApp, send it to me, I'll send it to you. The fourth man. It's about Jesus in the fire. This is not the New Testament. This is not the Gospels, Old Testament. Christophany. An appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament in the fire with the three guys. Right there, you could preach another sermon. Guess who's with you in the fire? Jesus. God will show you his power in different ways throughout the course of your life. You've got to look out for it. You will know his presence so clearly when you're in the fire if you would just look out for it. Don't run to your bat cave. I'm talking to the guys now because you girls don't do that. You start cooking and feeding us. Guys, out the cave. Don't run to the cave. Don't run to your cave. The cave is nice, but don't stay there. Don't stay in the cave. Don't put your head in the sand. Stand firm. Let me conclude with this. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, this is amazing. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you see that? When God shows up in our hurt and our frustration and our anxiousness and our delays at the heat office, God comes through and he's glorified because the world sees it. He's glorified. They will see you and they will glorify God. Because of our attitude of faith. And so for these next few weeks, as we wait for the transfer to be completed, I want us to stand firm in the Lord. I can't wait. I actually can't wait. I've got to get up at night just to have a week because I'm get so excited. You know what I mean? We know we're called to this place. We know we called you. God has spoken prophetically so many times. You can't help. But no, God's called us to this place. We know God told us, purchase the land in the chapel. We know that. We know God told us to move across from the venue. Remember, we were camping out there. He said, come across and possess the land when we still didn't own it. We've seen God's favor in our subdivision. We've seen God's favor in the rezoning. Things that were told could not happen. They said, you can't subdivide this. Place of worship was excluded, not precluded, excluded on this property. Municipality said, no. We think to have a church in the community is a good idea. They rezoned it. Who would have thought? God's gracious hand has been upon us all the way. So let's stand firm in the faith. Let's rebuke the enemy's hand in the name of Jesus. Let's be patient as God's hand moves all the pieces in place, and let's anticipate the victory. As I said in the beginning, this message is not about, it's not just about this property. This message is personal for some of you here this morning. Very personal. Your fire, like ours, could be frustration, could be disappointment, could be delays, but something you thought that God would do and He hasn't. But I want to say, faith obeys without compromise. Faith obeys in spite of what it sees. And faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome belongs to the Lord. And so I wonder, would you bow your heads as I pray for us this morning? Father, firstly, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you that sometimes in the shifting sands of circumstance, that your word's immovable. It's a foundation in our lives. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And man, it's so productive in transforming us and encouraging us. And so, Father, I pray this morning that we would have faith and stand firm in what you've called each one of us to. Maybe you're facing some kind of trial or delay this morning. Some big. Some might be subtle, but they're significant to you. Let me tell you, they all matter to God. Every single one of them. And so my prayer for you this morning is that God would be that fourth man in the fire. I pray, Father, you would presence yourself right next to those this morning who see themselves in a fire of some sort. No way out or delay that seems to have no end. Lord, would you remind us, not only are you good, but you haven't changed. You're still the God that heals. You're still the God that transforms. You're still the God that raises from the dead and breathes life into that which is lifeless. Maybe you're this morning, you've been far from Jesus for a while. I want to encourage you, reconnect with him. A life with Christ is not a good life. It's an abundant life. What a miracle those three guys were rescued from the fire. But the greatest implication of it all is Jesus is in the fire with them. He's in your fire with you this morning. Don't believe for a minute that he's distant or far off. He's not. He's in the midst of what you're going through, and he will strengthen you and he will protect you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you this morning right now to pray to him and ask him to come into your life. Not to be part of your life, but into your whole life. It means turning 180 degrees following him. And so I pray God would bless you this morning. I pray he would keep you. I pray his face would turn toward you, be gracious to you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen and amen.